Hello everyone, thank you for joining me today at the Grow Rich Podcast. My name is Gabriel Watarali, and in this episode, I'm going to be talking about bad customers that you must avoid. Okay, so before we get started, I just wanted to give you guys an update on what I was talking about last week about restructuring the podcast. After receiving some feedback and just thinking about it in general, I decided to not do that. The podcast right now is providing a lot of value to you guys, so I'm going to keep it the way it is. So no changes. Okay, so let's jump right into the topic of today. So bad customers are customers you want to avoid because they will just eat up your time, and if you let them, they'll eventually just destroy your business. That's just a summary of what bad customers are. But you need to be able to know who these kind of people are, so that way you can avoid them. So the first one on my list here is customers that don't pay you on time. So I don't know, you may have had someone that just essentially runs around with your money, and you're expecting them to pay you, but they're still buying things and doing all this other stuff, but they haven't paid you. Yeah, that's kind of what's going on here when you're dealing with a customer that doesn't want to pay you on time. They'll let you do the work, and then when it comes to paying you, they keep giving you excuses on why they can't pay you and stuff like that. So you want to avoid people like that, especially if you're very patient and you let the situation sit and do nothing about it for maybe 6 months, they just won't pay you at all. So you have to really be careful. The best way I found to deal with this stuff is you need to collect your money up front, especially if you are offering services. Collect your money up front. In fact, all of the stuff I'm going to mention on this list today, this list of bad customers, it's mostly going to apply to people that run a service business. But people that offer physical products too will find this useful. And even if you offer a digital product, you'll find all the information here useful. These are the customers you really want to avoid. So that's number one, customers that don't pay you on time. Number two, customers that just don't want to pay enough. Essentially, they don't want to pay what you're worth. The problem with this kind of people is that they just eat up your time. The time that you could be spending prospecting for new customers or helping your existing customers, you're not able to, because these customers are just taking up most of your time and they're not paying you what you're worth. As a business, excuse me, as a business, you have a lot of things you have to worry about. You have taxes you have to worry about. If you have employees, you have employees that you have to pay. So there's absolutely no reason why you should be taking less than the value of the service that you're offering or the product that you're offering. Okay, now number three, these are customers that aren't honest. Okay, so number three, customers that are not honest. These are customers that will say one thing this week, and then next week they'll say they didn't say it. So the best way I find to deal with this kind of customers is if you have a phone call with them, and you know just send them an email later after the call and summarize everything that you guys talked about. And let the customer know that if they have any concerns, they should send you an email back. That's how you keep everybody accountable and keep everyone honest, is by making sure that you have a paper trail. So if you have a customer that is known to be dishonest, make sure you have a paper trail for everything, every communication that you guys have. Because these customers can cause a lot of problems, especially if you deliver work to them. And then they say, no, that's not what they asked for. Now you're spending more time fixing something that didn't have to happen. If you had just had a paper trail showing that you have, I say paper trail, but you know what I mean? Like if you had email showing that you had talked to them and this is what they requested, then you can bill them for the additional work that they're making you do. Number four, customers that have unclear, changing, or unreasonable expectations, right? These are customers that just demand too much, or they're just demanding things that just doesn't make any sense. You want to avoid these people. For example, if you're designing a website for somebody and they're telling you to do specific things that doesn't even fit their budget. So they might be telling you to do something that's worth $5,000, but they're paying you $1,000. That doesn't make any sense. They're essentially telling you to become their slave and spend all your money and all your time and resources or money if you have employees, again, doing all this thing, and then they're gonna pay you less than what you put in. That's not how business works. The whole point of having a business is charging people for your services or your products is to make a little bit more, way more actually, if you can, than the expense of getting the product delivered. So just avoid people like this. They'll destroy your business. If you have too many customers like this, they'll destroy your business. So my advice is, if you already have a lot of customers that are unreasonable because when you were just starting out or whatever, you grandfathered them in, you just get rid of them by raising your prices. Raise your prices and tell them take it or leave it. And don't be worried about them leaving, because when those people leave, they're actually gonna open up room for better customers to come into your life. So do that. Okay, number five, customers that aren't available. So these are customers that you make a meeting, they're just not gonna show up. They might show up for the first meeting that you guys had. You guys have the first call together or whatever. They'll show up for that. But then as time goes on, they just stop showing up to your meetings. These customers you want to avoid because they'll waste your time. Like, for example, if you have a project that should have taken 1 month, but for some reason the customer is not available and the project ends up taking 6 months, that just makes no sense. That's just a waste of time. Plus, also, like, I feel like for me anyways, I start getting fatigue. Like, I guess I start getting tired of the project, tired of dealing with the project. And then I want to give the project to someone else to deal with, because I'm just getting tired of dealing with the same thing, since this should have been done. Because when you take a project in, you have a certain time frame that you want to deliver the deliverables. But if the customer is not available for the crucial meetings that you need to have to make that happen, they're just going to be wasting your time. So avoid those customers. The sixth type of customer you need to avoid is customers that complain to anyone that will listen. Like, they just complain. They like to complain. These are customers that will just, you know, they kind of just pick out anything. To complain about when you deliver work to them. They might say, oh, well, I don't like that, but the thing that they don't like, it doesn't make any sense because it's not necessary and customers wouldn't even care about that thing. You know what I'm saying? So like they'll pick on a lot of things that they just don't like, but then instead of telling you this is where the problem is with these kind of customers, like, because here's the thing, it's okay for a customer to tell you what they don't like. That's okay. I just want to clear that up right now. That's okay. Because if they tell you what they don't like, you can fix it. But these customers, they'll just go complain. They'll complain to people, but they won't say anything. They might fix it themselves and then go complain. It's like, why are you fixing it yourself when you can have us fix it? And most of the time, the reason why they fix it themselves is because what they're fixing doesn't need to be fixed in the first place. They just needed something to complain about. So they'll go talk to people in their circle. And you don't want that as a business owner, because ideally you want customers that will refer you to other people and say good things about you. So so avoid those customers. Number seven, customers that just don't listen to you. So these are customers that will hire you to do a service for them and you're the expert, but they don't see you as the expert, so they just don't listen to you. For example, you could tell someone, hey, don't get a link from that website, because that website has duplication problems, duplicate content problems. This is just in terms of SEO, because if you offer SEO services like us, you come into situations where you find yourself in, you'll find yourself in situations where people don't listen to you, and then they pay for it. When I say pay for it, I mean they get the consequences of their actions, and then they want you to fix the problem for them. So just as an example, and this actually did happen to us, is we told a customer, don't get links from that website, because that website is no good. It's probably going to tank your site on the rankings. The next day, they paid for the link because they were only concerned about a certain metric that made the link look like it was good, but it wasn't a good link to begin with. So after their website rankings got worse, they now came back to us and tried to fix it and try to get us to fix it. But we were like, hold on, we told you not to get a link from that site. So, you know, we're going to have to charge you for the service because we already told you what not to do, but then you did it. You see what I'm saying? These kind of customers you want to avoid, because if they're not listening to you, they're not seeing you as the expert, why do you want to work with someone like that? No. You know, like customers that listen, they see you as the expert and they tell you what their thoughts are, and you let them know exactly, you know, you let them know that, yeah, it's okay for customers to tell you what they're thinking. But at the end of the day, you're the expert, so they need to listen to you. And if they don't listen to you and something goes wrong, then, you know, they can't get upset if you charge them extra for the work that you're doing because they're not listening to you as the expert. You see? So you got to avoid customers like that. Okay, so number 8. Customers that want all the attention. So it's okay to give your customers attention, and you should. You should give your customers attention all throughout their relationship with you. However, when you deal with customers that will just call you out of the blue, let's say you're having dinner with your kid, and then they'll just give you a call on a Sunday, and they'll tell you about something that they should have just sent an email to you about. Because these are customers that will just talk to you about things that are not important because they're paying you. You see what I'm saying? The best way to deal with customers like this is charge them a whole lot more. Okay, when you identify that you're dealing with a customer that is just taking a lot of your time, charge them a whole lot more. If that's why I don't like signing contracts, because Tech Hub Canada, we don't like signing like long-term contracts or anything like that, because you know just in case there is a situation that comes up and we have to, like, you know, we have to reassess how much we're charging the customer, we can just do that. You see? So if your customer is paying you a certain amount to do specific work for them, and then you see that this customer is taking up way more on your time than you would like, and you've repeatedly tried to put boundaries in place, there's nothing wrong with contacting the customer and just saying, hey, listen, we're raising our prices. You want to continue doing business with us, this is how much it's going to be. There's nothing wrong with that. Just don't be afraid to lose that customer. Just remember there's abundance all around you. Just have the mentality that there's abundance all around you, and you'll never be afraid to tell someone no, or you'll never be afraid to send an email, that concerns a difficult conversation, or even have a difficult conversation in person with someone and letting them know that, hey, we need to start doing things differently because you have an abundance mindset. I think I'm going to do an episode on abundance mindset. Maybe that'll be the next episode. But yeah, once you have that mindset, you can tell people what you're thinking. And as long as you're being reasonable, you're not being a jerk or anything like that, people are pretty good. People will listen. Okay, now the last type of customer you need to avoid, this one's a very big one, number 9, is customers that are abusive. Okay, so here's the thing. when we're growing up as, you know, as kids, most of us, our parents don't teach us what abuse is. We are mostly taught that abuse is physical, okay? But the truth is, more abuse happens that is not physical. Non-physical abuse is rampant. That would be the word I would use. There are people at work right now that are working for a boss that is emotionally abusive, and they just don't know what abuse is. So because they don't know what abuse is, they can't point it out. They can't pick it out and say, that's abusive, you need to stop that. Okay, so these are the kind of customers you're gonna get. You're gonna get customers that are abusive, not overtly, but covertly. They're gonna be covertly abusive. It's very rare to get an overtly abusive customer that will yell at you and say, use bad words with you and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's very rare, but it does happen. But most of the time, you get covertly abusive customers. I'll give you guys an example. One time we had a situation where we dealt with a customer. We told them exactly how much a specific task that we wanted to do for them was. We explained to them exactly what the work entails and why they need it, and we're going to deliver it. They paid for the service. We delivered the work, and then we were about to proceed to the next steps of the project, which would now be the main thing, right? So I don't want to give too much detail just because I don't want to out this person, these people. So I want to keep it all confidential. But yeah, anyway, so we got to that point where we wanted to advance forward with the project, and we had a call with the customer. I had the call with the customer. Customer starts picking apart everything that we did, but not in a constructive way or anything like that, in a covert way. The best way I can explain it is, if you've ever had someone, I've had people that will say things it's not even a thing. Like, you say things that make no sense, but you could make it seem like it's a bad thing. So this customer is breaking things down in a very bad way. Like, okay, all right, guys, let me just explain this better, because I want you guys to get this. Okay, get because if you understand what covert abuse is, you can avoid this kind of customers. Okay, so give you an example. The customer will say one thing through email last week, and then when you have a phone call with them, they'll say something else that is completely negative. So this particular customer that we dealt with was comparing us with our competitors and was saying that, you know, they appreciate the work, but, you know, they just don't think it's like good enough compared to our competitors. And the funny thing is that, how do you know how good enough our work is if you have not worked with our competitors before? Because the same people have not worked with any of our competitors before. So it didn't make any sense. And they don't know who our competitors is, because we never told them who our competitors is. Just because somebody offers the same service as us doesn't mean we think they're our competitors, because your competitors are, how do we say, you pick who you're competing with. And to be honest, you don't even want to compete. You just want to know that your competitors exist. That's my motto, is know that your competitors exist. Know that they are there, but don't compete with them. Set your own prices, do your own thing. So when someone comes up to you and says, oh, but your competitors are doing this, it doesn't matter, because all that matters is what you are doing. I hope I'm explaining this well, because I'm not a psychologist, so it's very hard to, even though I've studied covert abuse, I've had to study a little bit of narcissism, if I'm saying that right, I'm a little tired. Sorry, guys. But anyways, I had to study NPD, study you know, the different traits and stuff like that, just because I had people in my life that had that problem, and I needed to identify what those things were. You have to be able to know when someone is being abusive and drop them. Just don't work with them. So in any case, we ended up just giving the customer a refund. We lost a lot of money in that deal because we spent tons of time, a lot of time putting everything together. A lot of manual labor went into it. A lot of people were paid for their part in the work. And, you know, I just pulled the trigger in a sense. I just said, you know what? This is not worth it. Let's just give the customer their money back and walk away. The peace of mind is better than dealing with a customer that is abusive. So just keep that in mind, guys. All right, that's it for this episode. Thank you guys for listening, and have a wonderful day.